to begin by expressing our process as if we wouldn't have the manners and the intuitive, respectful attitude to say thank you for having me. The Gemara says, "Poskin l'chol achsani." That when you're somewhere as a guest, you express your appreciation to the hosts for having you. Sprinkle cookies outside. Thank you for getting the sprinkle cookies. Just to create more bilbulim on the way in here on a Sunday morning. But thank you to everyone who made this possible today. I don't know the names of the people who made it possible to happen this today, but I think Mrs. Zakatinsky, that's the person I know, so thank you to Mrs. Zakatinsky. She's not here, right? Thank you very, very much for the privilege and pleasure of spending Sunday morning together. It's really extraordinary. I'm still not used to the idea of people spending time when they don't have to do something to do something. I was like, I'm still, even though I there are times where I have free time where I learn Torah or go to a shir, I've been doing it for some time now. You'd think at a certain point you'd kind of like get used to it. It's extraordinary. I'm not used to it. I'm not used to it that there are people who want to come out on a Sunday morning during final season, during busy season, during wedding season, Meretz Hashem by everyone. Amen. Just get that out of the way. And I mean, look, you could just say Amen and then we could just go home. But it's really extraordinary and it's a very special thing. And I don't take it for granted. So thank you to everyone from Shifa for arranging this today. Thank you to this wonderful Beis Medrash for hosting. And thank you to Remy for sponsoring today. The shir is in memory of, the schus of Yisrael ben Yishayo. Now it's called Basya Chil Ephraim. The neshama should continue to have an aliyah. It should be a strength for the family. However Hashem works things, I don't know. Especially these types of things, I don't know. But Hashem should send down in his infinite ability to heal and to help things make sense in some way. Hashem should just do it. I think the only way for that to make sense is for there to be some like universal redemption. Otherwise, the whole thing is just in a state of uncertainty. But it should be a merit for all the Jewish people, Hashem Kol Yisrael. And it's an extraordinary thing. And really, I can't get over it. And I really hope that I never get over it. I'm blown away when my own children like take time and go to Midrashah on a Tuesday night to go hear a shir or spend time, you know, on vacation to like do something which expresses a ratzon, a desire to be closer to Hashem, a desire to be our greater selves. And it blows me away when people do it. It's really awesome. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here today. Okay, the sheets that you got here are Oseos Machkimos. Right? Meaning you want to look inside, great. If you don't want to look inside, it's also great. There's extra ones here. Stender, if anybody needs. There's a universal custom in the Jewish people. There's also no clock. This is awesome.
Just keep going.
No.
It's right there.
Oh, it's over here, but it's behind me. It doesn't do anybody any good, you know? It isn't B'nai Ashurin also. I'm like this. Every minion I've spoken in B'nai Ashurin the Shabbos had a clock. There's like a big shot clock right in front of your face, except for the main minion where the Rav speaks. Because I don't want a clock in my face. I speak as long as I want. Clock is behind me, so when I start seeing people dropping like flies, I know I'll wrap it up. There's a custom in Klal Yisrael, it's universally accepted, that from the days between Pesach and Atzeres, from Pesach to Shavuos, Jewish people are learning Perkei Avos, Jewish ethics, character development, because we know in order to come to Torah, in order to come to Har Sinai, to receive the Torah, it's not just a content download. It's not about sticking a USB drive in our neck or in our like the front of in the prefrontal cortex to affect our executive functioning as Jews. We stick a USB port in here and like download a shir or download the parsha or download some of Pinkus or download some of Ziva Shalom or download whatever it is the flavor of the month trending in the world of striving over the Hashem. It's not just about those are all good things. It's not a content download Kabbalah Satorah. It's not just about having more information. More information we need in order to cultivate Dveikus Bashem. Dveikus Bashem is about walking in God's ways and emulating Hashem's midos. So the way that we prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, one of the ways, is through working on our midos. Character refinement and development as people. The way we are in the world. Not just knowing what to do or not to do. In the study of Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers,
literally is the hachana. So we'll learn just a little bit from Pirkei Avos. This is an interesting, I don't know, you call it sugya, question, matter, issue, inyan in Pirkei Avos that always makes me wonder what exactly happened. We'll share it together. Let's also have this be interactive. Come on, what are you doing? Come take some pages. Mary, take one. There's here for anybody who wants. You can just pass these back if anybody wants. Thank you. Let's start with the Mishnah. Let's jump right into it. Second parak. Chamisha talmidim hayu l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Everybody knows who Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was. This is interactive. It's interactive. Okay. Who was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? The Gadol Hador. In the second generation of Tanaim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol Hador. Not like today, where it's like there's competing, you know, parties and competing things that are trying to, like, everyone's trying to put their guy up with the bigger font in the newspaper. This was like L'chol. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, just the way the Gemara describes him, he didn't go Arba Amos without Torah. He was somebody who was knowledgeable and living with Kol HaTorah Kula, all of it. To the extent that everything he saw was a revelation of Hashem. He understood the Ma'aseh Merkava, the most obscure aspects of Torah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara says that he would hear the birds chirping. He knew what they were saying. Like Shlomo HaMelech, he was able to understand what messages were being transmitted in the world. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was the central figure at a time of instability. Churban Beis Hamikdash. The world was falling apart. At that point in history, the entire Jewish nation was focused around the city of Yerushalayim. The Beis Hamikdash was the seat of Jewish life, of Avoda, literally. And at the Beis Hamikdash was something called a Lishka, which was where the Sanhedrin would meet. They were across from the altar, across from the fire of the Mizbech, was the fire of Torah, and Kimitzion, Teitze Torah. And it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who was the central figure. He was the captain of the team. And then the generation of Churban was settling in. And it was unraveling quickly. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to make, as a leader, had to own the situation and make major decisions that were going to affect the trajectory and the history of the Jewish people. What was the main question of Yochanan ben Zakkai? He said, you have three wishes. You have three things that you can ask for. And one of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's moment that he, until his deathbed, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't sure that I make the right decision. I see two paths in front of me. He didn't know if he was going to the world of truth, to Olam HaEmes, to Olam Haba, and gaining his reward, or if he was going to go to an eternity of damnation because he didn't know if he made the right decision. Instead of saying, save the Beis HaMikdash, give me that building. I want that building. I want to keep the Sanhedrin intact, and I want to keep the Avoda and the Menorah and the Lechem upon him. Give me that Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Tainli Yavne v'chachamea. Chooses Yavne v'chachamea, representing the way of Torah, the study of Torah and yeshiva, as opposed to the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. In the end, history has proven Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai right. He was right. The Torah has continued for a couple of thousand years in Batei Medrash and shuls and places like this. Not because of the beautiful building, not because of the structure, but because of the people who get together and continue the tradition, continue the study of Torah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the captain of the ship. He had five Talmidim at this critical juncture in history. Here's where they are. This is Pirkei Avos. What does this have to do with Jewish ethics? What does that have to do with Hachana for Kabbalah Sotah? Let's see. Elohim, Rabbi Elezer ben Hukernes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, familiar names, Rabbi Yossi HaKoin, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And he would sit there and talk about how great these guys were. Their ability to retain information, to process Torah, to give over Torah. But he saved the best compliment, the most meaningful compliment, for Elazar ben Arach. He said, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was a Mayan HaMitgaber. Mayan HaMitgaber. What's Mayan HaMitgaber? A Mayan is a source of water, a spring, a natural spring, that's Mitgaber. It just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Meaning he's not wasn't peaking at a certain point. It was just getting better and better and better. Like a natural spring when water flows and just kind of goes and the current picks up everything in its way and just gets stronger and wider as it goes. That was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Somebody who was just getting stronger and better and better. And he said, that's my guy. That's my main Talmud. Abba Shaul said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, "Im hayu kol chachma Yisrael b'kach moznayim, v'yelezman hurkenus afi mahem." And while we're like, you know, ranking, you know, guys here, you know, from Karen Yavne, if you take all of them, all of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, including Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who was like, you know, Elazar ben Hyrcanus, ooh, he's a top guy. You put them all on one side of the scale. And you take Rabbi Elazar ben Arach and put him on the other side of the scale, machriyahu es kolam. He just outweighed them all. He was that amazing. He was just all of them, everybody, all the great ones, on one side. So Yashuv, Wayu, etc., etc., and everywhere in between, land, put them all in one, and you take this, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, on the other side, he outweighs them all. The Mayana Mitkaber. Amar Lahem, Tzuru Ezu Derech Tova Shidavik Ba'adam. Okay, let's get down there, okay? Talking about how great they are. Yala, what do they have to say? What's the Derech Tova Shidavik Ba'adam? This really should be the topic of every shir we ever heard in our entire life. Like, what's the bottom line? What's the way to go? What's the right path to go on? Rabbi Eliezer says an Ayin Tova. All the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Chabura, the starting five, so to speak, who Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was passing the torch to in this generation. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was getting older. He understood. We need succession. We need to figure out a process here of how this is going to move. These five guys together, his starting five, the all-star team. And what is the Derech Tova Shidabik Ba'ad? Right? You want to know, what are these Mo'etzes Gedolei Torah? What do they have to say about how a person should live life? So Rabbi Eliezer says you should have an Ayin Tova. What's Ayin Tova? G'day. G'day, yeah, you know, take the pitch. Ayin Tova. Rabbi Yeshua says, Chaver Tov, friend. Rabbi Yossi says, Shachin Tov, neighbor, live in a community, supportive environment. Rabbi Shimon says, Aroa Es HaNolad, see what's coming. My choice here is going to affect, my choice today is going to affect my tomorrow. You know, don't just choose the easy way, but think about what's happening. What might come down the road? And Rabbi Elazar said, a lev tov. Lev tov literally means?
Good heart.
Okay, good heart. Oh, he's such a good heart. That's like a code word for like, did something so stupid. Oh, he's a lev tov. Yeah. I want to try to understand what a lev tov means. That's the idea. Amar lahem, he said to his Talmidim, roa ani, I see divrei Elazar ben Arach medivreichem. I see that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach understands it better than you. Shebechlal dvarav devreichem. His understanding of a derech tova sheidabek ba'adam, having a lev tov, brings together all of the elements of what you're talking about. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is the top guy. He's the man. He's the successor. He's the Rosh HaChabura. He just gets the continuous validation that the torch is being transmitted to him. That he is the golden boy here. He's the next big thing. He's trending upward, and he's getting stronger, and as in Mayana Mitkaber, it's never going to run out, and he's the one that understands it better than all of you. So the question begs to be asked, why don't we know anything about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach? Like, he's nowhere. He's nowhere. Hillel and Shammai, no, but like 600 times in Shas. Rav and Abaye, hundreds. All of the names of these Jews, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Rishul ben Chanan, Rabbi Yisrael Kohn, Rishul ben Nasanel, I mean, more than 50 times the comments that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach makes in Shas, more than 50 times these Tanayim are quoted in the Gemara. There's like a couple isolated, random, like two statements of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach in Shas. What happened to him? What happened to this promising next big thing who was going to get the mantle, who received the mantle of leadership from his Rebbe at a time of incredible crisis and trauma in the Jewish people? Korban. What on earth happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Arach? Where'd he go? the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Zayin, right, that paints somewhat of a picture, a little bit of a story about what happened to Elazar ben Arach. And there's a parallel midrash in the Yalkut Shimoni. And that makes sense, because midrashim are also the statements of and the narrative of the Tanoim. It's the same generation. The difference is that Gemara is Torah Shebal Peh. It's codified. It's part of the oral tradition that was revealed at Sinai. And the midrashim, according to most, don't have to be taken literally necessarily. They're there to learn Musar from, for lack of a better term. I had a teacher in high school that I only appreciated, obviously, after high school, who I once was speaking to in the YU Beis Medrash. I had like a stack of, you know, whatever, for lack of a better term, a stack of she'ifos there, of like, you know, Musar Svarim, and Machshavah Svarim, and Chassidus Svarim, whatever it was. The story is, I was learning Musar Seder. And he goes, wow, what do you got there? I said, Musar Seder, Machshavah Seder. So he goes, oh, very good. I said, what are your Svarim? He goes, I learned Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah is a Musar Sefer. Not necessarily has to be taken literally. It fills in a lot of the white space and details of different agaritas and stories that take place in Shas. It provides a little bit of like a context and background to understand the direction of a lot of the statements that we find in Shas. So I chose to put the Medrash here instead of the Gemara. The Medrash fleshes it out a little bit more. But understand that this is a Midrashic statement that finds its root in the Gemara Kuf Mem Zayin. Chamisha Talmidim Hayu Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. There were five students, starting five. Okay? So at the Mishnah. Kol Zman Shahaya Kayam. As long as Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was alive, Hayu Yoshvin Lefano. They sat in front of him. I mean, he was their rep. Ukishinetar. When he passed away, what happened to them? Where'd they go? Halchula Hem Liyavna. They went to Yavna because Yochanan Zakkai, I recall, said, Tein Liyavna Vachachameha. And he said, Mesorah is going to be this way. Tein li Yavna v'chachameh. He chose Yavna over Yerushalayim, for the Beis HaMikdash. The halach, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Eitzel Ishto. Elazar ben Arach followed his wife, Eitzel Ishto. Where was his wife? She was in a place called Diumsit. Anybody hear of Diumsit? There's a Pesach program there, I think. Makom Shehamayim Yafim. Place, it's nice water. Vanave yafe, nice views. The Gemara says, the Kuf Mem Zayin, Shabbos, at Diumsit, there's a place that the waters of Diumsit and the wine of another place called Pergita, also probably sounds like a great place for a Pesach program. The wine of Diumsit and the waters of Pergita, this Mediterranean resort village, cut off the 10 tribes from Am Yisrael. Meaning it was a really good tirum. It was a really nice place. You go there and you're like, all right, I don't need to go back home. Just stick a fork in me, I'm done. Leave me here. This is where I want to be. Diumsit, it's nice weather. It's like, you know, it's like Miami. You know, it's like you just go somewhere and you're like, I have to, it's going to rain, it's going to be cloudy, there's no troubles, there's no hassle. It's vacation. Vacation, you go to like not deal with all the stuff that you have to deal with at home. Just leave a mess and get me out of here. Bring me to Diumsit. So that's where she went. Something the Gemara says, and the Rishonim point out, that this place, Diumsit, it was good all the time. But what was peak season? What was high season for Diumsit? Between Pesach and Atzeres. Dafka during Atzeres, that was the best time. That's when the waters were just right. That's when the weather was just right. That's when the sky was clear. Specifically during Pesach to Atzeres. That's when the bath waters were. So that's where she was. So, it wasn't when Arach, you know, you're going where your wife is at. His wife was heading this direction. He went to Diumsit Eitzel Ishto. He gets to Diumsit, Himtin Lohen, and he's waiting for the guys. Where are the guys? Himtin Lohen, the guys. The Tzadikim. The Gedoli Hador. But he was waiting for the Chevra. He was waiting for them. Himtin Lohen. Kisavar Shehem Bayim Etzlo. Because he figured, hey, they're coming, right? I mean, he's the Rosh HaChabura. Like, he was the golden boy. He's the one that Milchum and Zakkai, you know, sword on both shoulders, he gave him the mantle, he put the C on his jersey and said, it's you. So he's waiting for them. He's waiting. Or as Rabbi Teller would say, waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. Levasof, Bikesh Lalechet Etzlam. And then he realizes, okay, the guys aren't coming. So Bikesh, he asks his wife, he's like, you know, Karen Biavne, Yochanan Zakkai, guys are there, like, you know, this is great. you know, extended stay, the umsit, the whole thing. I'm loving it, but you know, maybe we can go, like, you know, maybe we should go to where the guys are at back in, you know, Eretz Yisrael and back in Yavne. V'lo hinachto ishto. And she said, no. I tried to find the most paternalistic medrash that I could possibly learn of a group of women. Heck, we throw you under the bus. His wife wouldn't let him. What do you want from the guy? His wife wouldn't let him. She said, no, you can't go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. And you're not going to Meron either. You stay here and you're gonna sit here and do dishes. I don't know, whatever. She said, no. Lo inachto ishto. She said, no. Like, who invited this guy? Amra Leh. I'm going to turn around. Amra Leh. So she says to him, Mitzarich lami. Come on, husband of mine, Elazar ben Arach. You're the man. Who needs who? Who needs who? You're the aren't you the Rosh HaChabura? Aren't you the Talmud Muvak of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Didn't you get the CR in your jersey? Who needs who? Amar Leh, so what does he say? Hein Tzrich and Li. Yeah, Hein Tzrich and Li. I have the Rosh Hashiva's notes. Right, okay? I have the Rosh Hashiva's notes. Hein Tzrich and Li. Amar Leh, so she says to, the Rebbetzin Ben Arach, says to her husband, Hapat va'achbarim. Pas is bread, okay? The bread and the mice. Darchan alecha seitzalmi. Like, who, like, what's the, how does that work? Have yomer achbar mitzla pas. There's some little crumbs, some bread, and the mice come from all different, and they nibble at the, they take from the bread. In other words, the bread doesn't go to the mice. The mice go to the bread. Shmala. They listened to her. Ve'ashav. And he stayed there. Ad sheshachach talmudo. Until he forgot all of his learning. Who's the hero of this? I mean, who's the villain here? Like, who's the villain? Achar yamim, some time passes. Bo etzlo, and the guys, the chabura who were his friends, also like were poised to become his talmidim. Right? They were his peers. But in a peer group, there's a structure. Like there's the mashpia and there's different people stepping up into different roles. Like they were ready for him to step into the role. Bo etzlo. So at a certain point, like they also roll into the yumsit. They're like, all right, you know, I get it. Where have you been? They walk into the yumsit where the water is perfect and the sky is blue. Vishalulo, and they said to him, hey, Rabbi Lazar, paschitim upasaorim. Bread that's made from wheat and bread that's made from barley. Ezo tova beliftan, which is better in liftan. You know what liftan is? Liftan is like you go like in an Eretz Yisrael, you go like a shmak, I don't know, pretend like you don't know what I'm talking about. Go like a really good Israeli place, the pargiot, the grill, they put the hummus in the middle, the hummus meat, and it's like everyone gets involved and dipping from all different sides, and you know, when I gave, you know, everyone gets involved. It's a schwitzy place, you know, the spice you can't buy in America, like, you know, the whole thing. Liftan is like a communal, it's like a bowl that sits in there. Like let's say the equivalent that you might be familiar with is like salsa and chips. A big salsa bowl there and everybody gets involved. So what's better? The wheat? Like what kind of bread is better to dip in the liftan? That's what they asked him. Okay, it came from the road, maybe they want to eat something, you know. Hey, what's better around here? You know, the wheat bread or the barley bread? Velohaya yodea ma'u liftan. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach looked at him and said, liftan? What's liftan? V'yesh omrim, another version of the story, and this is what the Gemara has. Kam l'kro b'Torah. Elazar ben Arach got up to have the Aliyah. In Torah, he got up to have an Aliyah. Parsha Sachodesh, it was Parsha Sachodesh, meaning it was Benes Manim, Nisan time, right? For Pesach. Gets up, and to lane from the Torah. And Aliyah means you're going to lane from the Torah. We learn Achodesh Hazel Lachem. Achodesh Hazel Lachem is the first mitzvah that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael as a nation of Mitzrayim. While we were slaves in Egypt, Hashem gives us this mitzvah and says, this is for you. The waning and waxing of the moon, the ups and down of the moon, the highs and lows, the struggles and the successes. Achodesh Hazel Lachem. So Elazar ben Arach gets up, V'amar Hacheresh Haya Libam. Instead of Achodesh Hazel Lachem, He switched the reish and the dal and the zayin. He botched it. He blew it. He shanked the whole thing.
these friends, Talmidim, Chevra, his crew, are gathered around the Bima, and they see their, like, their buddy, their friend, who is like also their role model. We all have those friends who are like, well, they're our friends, but like also like, wow, she's amazing. They're all looking at him, and they see him. He doesn't know how to lane. He punted. Chodesh Zalachem. Tzvachu le'kulei alma. And they cried out. They said, oi, what happened? He forgot his Torah learning. That's it. He forgot everything. He couldn't even read like a basic, the pasuk, he couldn't read Parshan Torah. It was just broken. He tchilu kot, Blazer ben Arach, in front of his friends at the Torah, he couldn't read it. He couldn't do it. He starts to cry. He tchilu kot, started to cry. Vehem bochim. And then the friends started to cry. Ad shechziru lo talmudo. Crying together restored his ability to learn Torah, to know Torah. I mean, it's a story. It's a screenplay. I want to just preface this by saying, this is a suggestion. It's a midrash. We can have it. That's why I didn't use the Gemara, because you can really suggest a reading in a midrash. Right? I'm sure. I hope at this point your mind's like, what is going on here? What is this narrative? What is this story? Our goal is to prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. Our goal is to learn Torah and say, what does this mean to me? What is going on here? I want to just be careful when we're talking about tzaddikim, we're talking about tanaim, we're talking about big people. But I believe that for the goal of trying to draw close to Hashem and learn from them what's happening, we're able to do a little bit of an interpretive dance. I'm going to make a suggestion, but it's open to interpretation. Clearly, the victim here is, who's the Nebuch here? Yes. Yeah, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. And the villain is? Yeah, of course, it's the Shrew. That's what, you know, every Disney movie, like there's always the evil stepfather, you know, with the Wicked Witch, you know, if you're wondering if men are writing these screenplays. She's the one to blame, no? But I can't speak to child raising, chinuch classes, I can't speak to shalom bias classes. It's like a work, the jury's out. 18 years deep in marriage, I could share something though. There's something I can share. Because when I'm reading anything in Torah or anything in the world, it's all about that. It's all trying to like say, okay, where am I? It's always convenient and easy to blame someone. It's always our first deflection. Obviously not my fault. I'll just say, our significant other, and this could be friends, this could be a boyfriend, this could be a chassan, fiance, a husband, God willing, all in the right time. They can't read our minds. Like they don't really know what's going on. You might like be able to like know, intuit that like, probably don't like that I left dirty things on the table. Like that might be something that you can do. But in a real way, what's going on inside of us? There's such an inner world going on all the time inside of every single human being. So Hashem made us. God is infinite and contains all. People are also. We're like Hashem. We're infinite and contain all. All these emotions, all these ideas, competing narratives going on in our head all the time. What do you want from her? She should read his mind? To borrow from the Rebbetzin of our generation, besides Rabbanit Yemima, Lahavdil, to borrow from Brené Brown, if Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, the Gadol Hador, he is the next Gadol Hador, in the face of this incredible challenge, trauma, Chorban, it's 2,000 years later, we're still not eating on Tisha B'Av, we're still saying Kinos. 2,000 years later, the halacha is you don't finish, even if you're in the reserve cut, you don't finish a little bit of the steak because of the churban. Beautiful house, we don't finish the house because of the churban. At a wedding, we break a glass because the world is imperfect. Even at moments that we think are, we break a glass because of the churban. That was what he was looking, he was staring down the pipe of the churban.
And Elazar ben Arach, it was his job to transition Klal Yisrael into Churban. A total decentralization of the world. The Jewish people are unraveling and it's on him. It's a tall order. There's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure on the family. Because when Abba's under pressure, it's the whole house feels it. It's something which we go through together. There's no me, it's us. Perhaps if Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would have had the courage, would have had the strength to look at his wife and say, this is a lot. I don't know if I could do this. Mi tzarich l'mi? She said, well, here's what maybe we should go to Karen Biavna. And she said, like, well, for what? Mi tzarich l'mi? Maybe she's just reacting to him. Maybe she's just making the call based on the variables that were handed. She's supposed to read his mind. Well, he says, Im tzarich l'mi, like they need me. Because I'm the man, I'm the husband, I'm the mashpia, I'm the rav, I'm the guy. And I have to be strong because that's my role here. I have to show you that I'm confident and I'm fine. And we're okay and it's good, everything's fine. It's a very manly thing to do. And again, this is not critical of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. This is just, it's autobiographical for every man who ever learns this and is open to receiving this aspect of the narrative, this possible interpretation. There's an aspect of truth in every single person. Is that, well, I have to be okay. I have to be strong through this. I have to fight through. I'm bigger than this. I can do this. Perhaps Rabbi Elazar ben Arach would have looked at his wife and said, I'm scared too. This is a tall order. This is a big thing. I don't know what this is going to look like. But Heim Tzrich and Li, they need me because I have the Rosh Hashiva's notes, but I also need them. I can't do this on my own. It takes courage. That vulnerability, that to have that, to present that uncertainty, to share that lack of confidence or that fear or that anxiety or that place of brokenness and incomplete, like I just don't know, I'm just not sure. A place where like all signs are pointing to this guy being the one who has all the answers. All of Am Yisrael is looking at him. He's the Mayan Meskaber. He's the one. Get up there and tell us how we're going to be saved. He comes home to his wife, and she's concerned. She's in Diyumsit. You know? And he goes to Diyumsit with her. Now, that whole experience in Diyumsit could have gone a lot of different directions. But instead of owning the brokenheartedness that he was feeling, he battened down the hatch and said, no, okay, I'm going to wait. They need me. And then you could read this entire episode, this entire text in that way. Because Mrs. Ben Arach, she's not to blame here. She's just responding to his way. I mean, listen, I'm being supportive here. You know, like, I'm just she's playing off of his reaction. She's reacting to his way, to his response. Take a look inside. Amr Leim, Yitzarach Lami, Yitzarach Lami. Pat, achbarim, the bread, the mice. And he said, I'm sticking with it. I got this. On me. I got it. The thing is, like, we're not meant to do it alone. Like, that's not the way Torah exists. That's not the way Torah works. Torah is given b'chabura. Torah is niknes b'chabura, Mishnah says. Torah is given at Har Sinai with the entirety of the nation. It's a collective experience. Torah is learned b'chavrusa, in a group. There's no such thing as a person saying, I got this, it's on me, I'll take it. It's not Superman. There's no such thing as Superman. Superman, that's not our narrative. That's not the Jewish experience. And that's what happens when the chever come to him, when they come to Superman, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, the Mayan Meskaber, the greatest of the generation, all of the tzaddikim, all of the rabbanim, all of the rebbes, all of them, all of the rebbes, all of the gedolei Yisrael, and all this farm and all their silver canes on one side, and Elazar ben Arach on the other, he outweighs them all because he literally is the best. What's better, chita or seora? What's higher in the Seder Adifiyot? Eretz chita useora. This is Sfiras HaOmer. We present the barley offering. It's animal feed. It's not like a person thing. I don't know, maybe it's trending in the millennial, in the village of the millennials, eating barley crackers. But it's not. It's not what we do. Barley put in cholent. It's good in cholent. It's not on its own. You need a bowl of barley. Barley is part of something. It receives all the flavors of everything else. Paschitin, pasaorin. What's better? Maybe you're the chita. And we're the saora. Right? You're more refined. You're the greater one. The order of brachos and the order of like the shevaminim, chita comes before saora. That's the whole idea of the Sefer HaOmer. We're bringing the Omer, elevating this lower to higher. Like, we get it. We're not you. Like, you're the guy. Like, you're the captain of the team. Tell us. Paschit and Pasor, which is better in Lifton? Lifton is like a bowl. It's a communal bowl. It's what people eat together. You don't get a thing of, I mean, moments of desperation. We don't get like a big poo-poo platter and sit there in the restaurant by yourself. It's something which you get and everybody kind of participates in. Under normal circumstances. You know, you understand. And if Elazar ben Arach says, Liftan, what's that? What is communal sharing? He didn't even know what Liftan was. In modern Hebrew, I looked it up. In modern Hebrew, Liftan is like, you know, they have a big punch bowl, you know, in the middle of the room there that like kind of is supposed to bring people together from different sides of the room, like a big communal bowl of compote or whatever. Like that is what Liftan is used as. It's something which is shared. In modern Hebrew, the same root is used to describe nidivut, benevolence, which is something which means expressing and experiencing and being a part of the other. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is like, Liftan? I don't even know what you're talking about. He'd lost that element of community, of tzibur, of chever. So they say, okay, all right, so you don't have that daf aleph, you don't have that. Okay, so let's go to the content download of Torah. Okay. After all, he has the Rosh Hashiva's notes. They go to the shul, right? They try to like break bread and have a little snack together, eat something together, like, you know, kind of reacquaint. They came from the way. He doesn't know how to even sit down and eat with people. He doesn't know how to break bread. He doesn't know how to sit there and be part of a chevra. He says, okay, let's go to Beis Medrash. Let's come to shul. Achorash is alchem. Rosh Chadashim. That was given to Klal Yisrael. We were in the lowest place. It's God's promise to the Jewish people that we could renew things, that you could start again. The moon, cyclical, renewal, ups and downs. Sometimes it's shining a lot of light, it's reflecting a lot of light. Other times, it's dark. But it's okay. There's ups, there's downs. We wane, we wax. HaChodesh is Alachem, Rosh Chodeshim is the first mitzvah that we get as a nation because it's God saying, I believe in you, you're going to provide the testimony. You define Kedusha Sazman. We're in this together. I believe in you, I have confidence in you. And our Elazar ben Arach gets up there and he doesn't know. Cheresh haya libam. His heart was mute. His heart was just paved over. Cheresh. Couldn't speak, can't hear. There's no giving, there's no receiving. Closed. Like at the end of the Lorax, the Onceler, it's just all boarded up. Done. Nothing. Nothing to say. I don't feel, I don't know. Cheresh haya libam. Because that mitzvah, that part of Torah, as Hashem says, Achodesh hazeh, lachem, not lecha. You can be paschita, you can be the most refined white challah from the Bubbav cookbook on the windowsill. Perfect, everything right. It's a family first moment. It's a whisk moment. There's a special place in hell for all of those people who make those magazines. I'm saying this as a happily married husband, father, children. It just creates a pressure. It's impossible. The same way Lahabdil, by them, it's like the magazines that with the Photoshop people, by the Heimish crowd, it's like, you know, oh, this is what your shalch models could look like. Really? How? How is that possible? Like, family. Or if you spend 14 hours a day for 2 months and $25,000, here's what your shalch models could look like. Resonates or not? My house, I'm like, stop it. Let's just have chicken. It doesn't have to be anything more than just chicken. No, I talked about this. Yeah. Huh? Just chicken. Stop. It doesn't have to look like anything. Just chicken. And let's be functional here. Chodesh hazeh lachem. It's communal. It's for you. It's not lecha. Paschita. The most beautiful white flour. Everything's perfect and great. Or pat saora. Barley, which is lower. Omer, animal feed. Doesn't matter. Lift on. Together. New one. It's all together. It balances out. The barley and the cholent gets the flavor of everything and it's all together. We hold on together. And Elazar ben Arach is like, I don't know what you're talking about. What's lift on? Chodesh lachem? What's lachem? What's renewal? His heart was closed. They cried out, "Oi, what happened? Oi! Tzvachli koli alma." And Rav Elazar ben Arach, he breaks. And he starts to cry. And as soon as his heart opens and he begins to cry, what happens? V'hem bochim. They started to cry too. It's a moment of honesty called vulnerability, called openness. He brought his real self, what he was going through. He couldn't handle it anymore. He just couldn't do it anymore. Not the liftan, not the Torah. And he shattered. He broke. And they cried with him. Ad shechazir lo l'talmudah. Everything was restored. All of his Torah learning, his studies, his abilities, his confidence was restored. He came back. If he would have had the courage, the honesty, the strength to say, "I can't do this on my own. I need help." We're not meant to do it alone. We're all different pieces of a puzzle that need each other in order to create this picture, this image of self in the world. Different parts of a tapestry. We all need each other. It's not like, "Oh, we have to have achdus." That's another thing. But we just can't do it by ourselves. We're not meant to. Perhaps if he would have just been honest with his wife, if he would have just been courageous enough, I keep using that word because this is the Chiddush of B'nai Brown. That's why tens and tens of millions of people are reading her books and listening, because she just says it so simply. To be strong doesn't mean to think that you could do it on your own. To be strong means to say, "I need your help." And that resonates with people. When we open up a little bit, a broken heart means that our heart is open. That means there's space for Hashem to do His thing. There's space for others to support us. A broken heart is an open heart. I can't do the shalom bayis and the chinuch thing. I can't do it. The jury's out. What I can say is that the guys that I know, older, younger, for the most part, there's a story that we're telling ourselves all the time, that if she really knew who I was, she would pack the bags and run. In fact, I would tell her, "It's your best interest, just go." Because everybody has that narrative. "I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it." It's the fall from Gan Eden. It's just a condition of mankind. We all have that voice in us. We can work through it and put it in context. We're all afraid to be really honest. We can honest style. Authentic style. Actually, it's trending now. It works to my benefit. People like authentic style, but not too honest. Because that's disarming. It's like, "Oh, I don't know what to do with that." It's a fine balance, and it's challenging. And that's really where trust and relationship and intimacy develops, from a place of, "You know my strengths. Everybody knows my strengths. Everybody sees that I'm good at this and good at that." Maybe you meet somebody, a friend, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a significant other, who can really appreciate those strengths. That's what we think, that's what love is, and that's great. Everyone thinks I'm good, you think I'm really, really good. So you love me for that. You want me for that. Okay, mazel tov, that's not, okay, the whole world wants me for that. What about the price tag for that strength? What about what it costs to be that person? It costs something, it comes with a price tag. That price tag is, sitting there in the attic, in the basement. You don't always put it out on the dining table. It's not appropriate. But when someone's welcomed into the home, you don't bring guests up to your bedroom. You don't bring guests into your back room, the basement, the attic. It's not a place for guests. But when you have somebody you're close to, you're going to share that space, share that place, and then start to see there's some cobwebs. And that's okay. That's what a basement is. That's what an attic is. There's flooding and there's ritivut or whatever that's called. And stinky a little bit up there, and there's a little bit of stuff there, and the files are put away, and forget about it. "Oh, I thought I threw that out." And that, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach didn't open. Didn't let his wife go there. Because it was hard for her. She wanted to be in Diyumsit, and it's okay. Sometimes you have to go to Diyumsit and retreat to a place called Diyumsit, where the water is good, and the wine is good, and it's nice weather, in order to gather strength to go back to Yavna to face it. Easy Ezehi derech tova sheidabek b'ha'adam. What is the path? What is the derech for a person to cleave to? Which is, what's the mahalach? Right, that's what the Mishnah is saying. What's the mahalach? What's the path? How do we do this? So Rabbi Elazar says an ayin tova, to look at the positive. To see that, like, okay, not everything is farfalla here. Not everything is broken. Not everything's bad. There's something here that we can salvage. There's some point here in the wreckage that we can take and build from. An ayin tova, to look at people, experiences, places, oneself in a way which is positive and optimistic, because that's also true. The cup also is half full. It's true. It's true it's half empty. It is. But it's also true that it's half full. An ayin tova. Bishua says a chaver tov, a good friend. A chaver. Chaver, melashon chibur, connected. Somebody connected. Somebody you can be honest with. That's a real friend. Somebody who sticks with you ups and downs. Or you could be straight with. Someone who's going to not be afraid to say, I think you might be wrong on this one. I think you're not seeing clearly. It's hard. We're not friends. We're friends, you know, on Instagram, and we like each other's things, and we're excited about how the beverage that each other are drinking with the perfect, you know, ray of light coming down from wherever it is, and something, or even a little deeper than that. Even a little deeper than that. Oh, we study together. We're friends together. Oh, you know, whatever, you know. We're family friends. But a chaver tov, a real friend, somebody who can like give you the truth and hear the truth and be there through times that are good and times that are less good. A chaver tov. Biyasi says a shachin tov, a good neighbor, Allstate, like a good neighbor. Allstate is there. Someone who's trustworthy, who's a rock, someone who's going to be there and be like an insurance policy. You know, our neighbor, like we live in a wonderful neighborhood, supportive. You know, there's like things going on all the time, and whether someone literally in the same week, one neighbor is sitting shiva. Chas v'shalom, and another neighbor had a baby, and there's like meals, people just like cooking and taking care of each other and bringing each other's kids and watching out for one another. It is extraordinary. I see like the executive functioning of the whole neighborhood is revolving around supporting each other. That's also beautiful. Shachin tov, to be in a supportive communal environment where it's clear we're not doing this by ourselves. Reb Shimon says, haroes hanola, to see what's coming. In other words, put things in perspective. This choice that I'm making right now is going to affect what happens down the road. Right? There's repercussions, there's ramifications. All these are good ideas. All these are important pieces of the puzzle. But Elazar ben Arach said, a lev tov, a good heart. What does it mean to have a good heart? Does a good heart mean, it's good, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm good, everything's great, perfect? Does a lev tov mean perfection? What's a good heart? You know, the Sfiras HaOmer, the first 32 days until Lag BaOmer, the Osios Lev, Lamed Beis, 32 until Lag BaOmer. And from Lag BaOmer until Shavuos is 17 days, which is Gematria Tov, Lev Tov. This is what we're working on cultivating. What does it mean to have a good heart? To be heartful. To borrow again from the Rebbetzin, wholehearted. To be complete. To be complete doesn't mean that everything's going great. Doesn't mean that everything's fine. Doesn't mean that I can do it on my own. Doesn't mean that I have it under control. Doesn't mean that I got this. It means that I'm owning the reality of the situation that I find myself in. For good and for less good. Sheva Shabbosos, Sheva Shabbatot, Tamimot. Tamimos, Tiana. We're counting 7 full, complete weeks. With a bracha, without a bracha, it doesn't really matter. Counting, count. Tamimos, we count at night, not during the day. Gemara says, the halacha is, you count at night because there's no day without night. It has to be tamim. It has to be complete. It has to be whole. Tamim does not mean perfect. It means, in this context, whole. Whole means you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. Vayerev, vayevokir, there's darkness, there's day, there's dark, there's light. Hachodesh hazeh lachem. The entirety of the experience. Ups and downs. The pain and the joy. Tamimo tiena. You want to receive Torah at Har Sinai? Ishachad b'levachad. There's no one heart if everybody is fine and perfect. If everyone's a little bit broken and incomplete, then we can kind of complete each other. Then we can get into the ishachad levachad thing. But only if we're incomplete and we recognize it and we own that. And that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was saying. Lev tov. He knew it. He understood it. A lev tov. Roa ani shebechlal devarav devreichem. Ayin tov. Shachin tov. Roa esanola. Chaver tov. All of that is part. They're parts. of what it means to be whole. A lev tov. And a lev tov doesn't mean to be perfect. Lev tov means to say, I'm able to take my heart, my fleshiga heart, Rav Nachman said, the whole thing is to get us to cultivate a fleshiga heart, a lev basar. To know that I have a lev basar, I feel pain, I feel joy, I feel hurt, I feel joy, I feel sadness, I feel uncertainty. It's dark, it's light. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not. And here is my heart. As the Navi says that Hashem's whole desire is for us to give us, to give our hearts to Hashem. And the Gemara's phrase it, Rachmanu li babai. But the Navi says, my child, give me your heart. I know it's not perfect. It's not meant to be perfect. The whole system of Torah and Yiddishkeit is not about perfection. God is perfect. Mankind are not perfect. We have our fears. We want to run away to Diyumset and stay there. If we own that, the honesty, that we have to make it, it'll take all the pressure off of having to try so hard to put this picture-perfect way of being in the world that's just not realistic, that creates more pressure and more tension and more suffering. Because we really are okay. We just need help. And people ask me, when are you going to a store, or I stop at a Starbucks, or I stop here, or I stop there, or guys or people along the way, and I'm traveling this week, and I'm, can I help you with anything? I'm like, I need help. Someone say, you know, do you need any help? I say, yes. Oh, what can I do? I'm like, no, I have this part I have covered, but I certainly need help. Conditioned myself. It's a spiritual practice. Every single time somebody asks me, do you need anything? I say, yes. Oh, what could I get for you? No, Chani asks me all the time. We work together. She asks me all the time. What could I do? Do you need help? I'm like, yes, I do. But what could I do for you? I'm like, no, nothing particularly right at this moment, but I certainly need help. We all do. Meaning, I say that in my house all the time. Ah, you need anything? Yes. What can I get you? No, nothing really. I need a lot of help. We all do. It's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what Rebbe Shlomo made us. That's the way it is. That's what it means to have a lev tov. Tov li Torah spicha. Torah shatters us. Person gets into the world of Avodas Hashem, it's ups and downs. You get involved in Torah, there's no easy path here, not everything's smooth. Adarabba, the more we learn, the more we get into Yiddishkeit, it's good, but it's hard. Start working on Midos, learn a little Orcha Tzadikim, or Mesilas Sharm, or one of the Tzvarim of the Tzadikim, you're like reading it, and you're like, whoa, I'm looking in the mirror, there's a ways to go here. Yeah, it's not easy, but it's good. It's broken. It's not perfect. That's a lev tov. Working on cultivating this trait of knowing that I just have to turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I need your help. Turn to my friend and say, you know, I could use a little help with this. Or if someone puts us and asks us, and it's in a place of trust, in a place which is safe, a place where there's intimacy, there's going to be vulnerability. A place of honesty, of authenticity, that is, there is where the Shekhinah is going to rest. That's what a relationship is. Friends, between lovers, between families, that's what it is, in community. That's why people come together when things are hard. Because there's a brokenness. As soon as I'm broken, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to say. So it's clear that I need you, but let's not wait until our back is against the wall. So the end of the Medrash is, the Gemara said, and the Gemara quotes us also, but Lazar says, have a goal of a makam Torah. To exile ourselves to a place of Torah. Al Tomar, Shitavu Alecha. Don't say that Torah is going to come to me. I have to make the effort to put myself out there. Shechavercha Kaimua Biyadcha, that it's on them. I have to deflect responsibility. It's my wife's fault. It's my friend's fault. It's my parents' fault. Being an adult, being someone who is ready to be a Baalat Achrayut or Baal Achrayas, is somebody who stands up and says, on me, I need help here. That's taking responsibility. Being a manager, and that's what being a mom is, or a husband is, and that's what being a friend is. Being a manager. You manage different parts. Right? That's the parts of life. Everybody's a manager. Everybody's a mashpia. Doesn't mean that I'm doing it all myself. It means saying, I don't know how to do this. I need your help for this. Here, you're better at this. You take care of this part. Anybody who works with me knows I don't really do much. I just kind of like count on everybody to do things, no? And sit there and say, okay, we got this together. We got this together. We got this together. And everybody seems to like it because it resonates. Because it's true. Because Torah's nickname is Chabura. We're not meant to go at it alone. the Pnei Menachem,
the Ger Rebbe.
Pnei Menachem, when he was a young man, his father gave him a sefer of Mashalim. Bless you. He gave him a book of Mashalim, of parables. I was thinking some critical thinking going, kind of like, you know, make the wheels move a little bit. He was able to figure out all the Mashalim, all the parables. He was able to get it. But there was one that he couldn't wrap his head around. It's as follows. There was a king who was making a chasna for his daughter. And invited the entire kingdom to come participate in the simcha. He had to bring a present. It's a thing to buy a present. The Gemara says it also, and the Rambam says it's called shoshavinim. You have to buy a present. You bring something. You're building this home together. And the thing is, the peasants, the people live in this kingdom, they don't have any money. They're eating potatoes, you know, and vodka in the winter because they can't afford firewood. And they're supposed to buy a present that's befitting the daughter of the king? How's that going to go? How's that work? They're looking on the registry for like something that's, you know, that's not, you know, $175. They don't have to do this. This one guy in the kingdom says, oh, he had an idea. Okay, he had this Einfall. It's a little bit of a risk, but, you know, Yiddish cup. He goes to like the big city to the most expensive china shop. And they sell these elaborate tea sets. I mean, it's beyond any money that he'll ever see in his entire life. And he goes there, and he goes up to the guy behind the counter, and he says, by any chance, do you have a tea set that's incomplete, that's broken? The guy says, actually, I do. I have one that one of the workers knocked off the shelf. I killed the guy. I threw him out. He knocked the thing off the shelf. It's in a million pieces. It's in the back room. I have nothing to do with it. Why? He said, oh, how much do you want for it? He's like, I just haven't had a chance to throw it out yet. It's this big, heavy pile of... He said, oh, I want it. How much is it? The guy goes, I don't know. Take whatever payment you ever want for it. Perfect. I'll take it. Could you gift wrap it? I said, sure. He's going to send it to the king. He's going to bring it to the wedding. They'll open it and see it's broken. They say, oh, this guy put so much effort, spent so much money, but broke on the way. Oh, you know, I'm going to feel so bad. I'm going to show the king that I really had a great present, but okay. A little risky, but, you know, worth a shot. The guy says, sure, okay, whatever you want. The guy is waiting there. He wraps up the present. On his way to the wedding. He's feeling good. Brings the wedding, dancing, drops it in the present area. And he's dancing, enjoying the suda, sheva yame mishta. At a certain point, the sentries, two like soldiers, come in, grab him by the arms, and say, you're under arrest. He said, what, wrong guy, what? They said, you're contempt, you're rebellion against the king. You know, tonight's your last night on planet Earth. Prepare your affairs. Tomorrow you shall die. He's like, what? Throw him in the cellar, and he's like, well, I don't get what, how, possibly what? Did they figure it out? How could they possibly know? They bring him before the king. And the king says, we're insulted. You're morid b'malchus, and you can't be a part of this kingdom anymore. You need to. He said, but I don't, what do you mean? Like, I brought the tea set, it broke on the way. I don't know, it was on the donkey, and it came, and I slept it on the carriage, and I must have dropped it on the way in, or how. He said, no. Your intentions are clear, and I know exactly what happened. You're in contempt. You're in rebellion. He says, but what do you mean? I got it like that. I got it. It was broken. The king opens up the box. Every single piece of shattered pottery, of shattered china was wrapped individually. They gift wrapped every single piece. It was perfectly broken. It was broken in such a way that it was wrapped up so nicely. And that's the end of the mashal. And Pnei Menachem couldn't understand it. He asked his father, Ger Rebbe, he said, I don't get it. Ger Rebbe said, are you going to be a Baal Achrayus? Are you going to be a leader? Are you going to be a Mashpia? Are you going to be a person and people are going to come to you? And you're going to speak to people and to know that every heart is broken. And you know, when things are broken, it's not like this nice, like, you know, let's use the gingham filter to make this look, it's broken from the 18th century. And we'll lighten it up a little bit here, we'll remove this zit, and we'll make it just right, we'll put a little cocktail on the corner, and it'll look a little broken, but like not too. It's just broken just right. Pain is pain. Uncertainty is uncertainty. Doubt is doubt. Loneliness is loneliness. Sadness is sadness. Confusion is confusion. Distance and alienation are distance and alienation. You can't wrap up each piece and think that it's a beautiful tea set. It is what it is. Own it. Try to like round off the edges. But to be a leader, to be a person who's a Baal Achrayus, to understand what it means to be responsible, to be in a relationship, to connect with someone, has to be real. That Rabbi Elazar ben Arach wasn't able to have the courage to do. He disappeared from the face of the earth. You don't see him anywhere in Shas. This person with incredible promise, incredible potential, the whole world was at his fingertips. Mayana mitgaber. Couldn't look his wife in the eye and say, I need your help. This is a very manly, It's a very manly medrash. And anyone who is in a relationship or has been in a relationship, this will resonate. It's hard to put it on the table. For both, for everyone, for everyone. Mrs. Ben Arach is the one here who suffers the most. And she's not able, he doesn't let her in. But maybe she would have said, Lazar, I know you before you were Rebbe Lazar. I know you differently than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I believe in you. And it's okay. If it doesn't work out the way that you hope it will, it's okay. I'm here with you. I'm here with you before. I'm here with you now. I'll be with you after it. We're doing this together. You're not alone. We could do it. Let's rest up a couple days here in Diumsit. And if you want to go back to Kerem B'Yavna, if you need them, I'm with you. A little bit of honesty. Well, a little bit of honesty we could do because it's honest style. Broken style. That's cool. That's good. That's actually trending now. But to really be able to open up the space of the broken luchos, I mean, just know, Kabbalah Satorah, it's a great story. Shavuos is great. Motzarei Chalav. Who doesn't love Motzarei Chalav? Shavuos is great. You know, part of the Shavuos narrative is the Egel. It's the luchos Shavuos, the broken luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu goes around. What happened? Where are those luchos? What happens to the broken pieces of the luchos? He comes down from the mountain. That's divine revelation. Here is your reason to be in the world. Torah Kedosha. Beautiful. Flowers and shul. Cheesecake and kiddush. Everybody's happy. And there's this egel. That's also part of the story. It's off the side. There's that moment, like really horrific, embarrassing fail. Like that awful moment. My Rebbe doesn't even say egel. He doesn't say cheta egel. He'll say ayin gimel because it's just too embarrassing. It's too degrading to say that. In the middle of that beautiful wedding, the chassan's looking at the bridesmaid. He's also checking out what's going on. It's a horrible moment. Betrayal. It was a moment of betrayal. And the luchos are shattered. Shattered. And there's another chance to fix. But what happened to all those broken pieces? Where did they go? Just imagine. Before those broken pieces, they're not buried in the ground. We don't forget about them. We don't ignore it. We own it. Those broken pieces from Matan Torah, from the Luchos Rishonos, they go into the Aron. They're right in there with the next Luchos, broken and held together. How did they get into the Aron? Like the scene ends, the curtain comes down, and the next thing you know, they're inside the Aron. So I don't know. But the imagery in my mind tells me, it doesn't say in Torah, I don't know the Chazal address it. How did they get from there to there? It's just, it's broken, and now they're together. I imagine Klal Yisrael, in their shame, and in their hurt, going around and picking up those pieces, owning it. That's the tshuva. We're restoring these broken pieces, saying, this is me. And bringing them to the Aron, and the Aron goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now that Kodesh HaKadoshim is not a place that's opened up for anyone. It's not a place that people go. That's the most intimate place. That's the most sacred space. That's the place of yichud between husband and wife. That's not a place that you take everybody. But in order to get there, there has to be a reclamation of the pieces. It has to be with someone that there's trust and vulnerability and strength. And that comes by cultivating the midah of being wholehearted, of erev and vokir, of darkness and light together. Of being honest and providing an opportunity for honesty. And knowing that it's just not perfect. It just has to be that we're able to receive each other and work together. And we can face this together. We can handle this. We can do this. We're not meant to do it alone. Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. Without a woman, Batach Lev Baala. Without a woman who's Batach Lev Baala, provides a context, a vessel for a man to be able to be honest, to share, to work together, to build together. With that, Batach Leibala, Chachmas, Isha, Bansa, Baisa. Elizabeth Arach, again, this is not to blame and not to judge. We see the story of Elazar ben Arachna's wife happening every moment of our lives, everyone. They would have just owned where they were. It's okay to not be okay. We're going to not be okay together. We're going to do this together. We have enough currency and enough trust and enough strength together. We'll be able to overcome whatever the challenge is. We'll do our best together. That's what it means to have a lev tov. It's not going to be perfect. Never is perfect. But it could be perfectly, it doesn't have to be perfectly broken. But together we can make each other whole. As a community, as a tzibor, as a chevra, as neighbors, as a nation, and God willing, in every single one of our homes, shavizocha, to be there for one another, to be honest with one another, to eat from the liftan together, to be able to renew our vows together. Hashem should help that in the merit of all of these tzaddikim, the merit of this incredible gathering that happens, this is really mind-blowing. The effort that we're making here to try to like come a little closer and prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, should be zocha to have the strength and the courage and the emuna Hashem and in ourselves to have a lev tov, be zocha and the kabel Torah, the simcha, the pnimius, the mirtz Hashem, to be able to like together with the right one at the right time, be able to paint over that amal ama and say, yeah, it's broken, but now it's time for Mashiach, now it's time for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Mirtz Hashem will be able to get there together and share simchas. Good vach and a good yontif and good everything.